Assess Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. Darnell Dockett is going to make his decision today, reportedly, about where he is going to play football, if it's going to be with the 49ers or not. So we're keeping an eye on that story here in the middle of your Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. Our website is sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. A lot of NFL to get to, also a lot of around the Suns. Eddie Johnson, Suns television analyst and good friend of the show, will join us from Orlando this morning. And I've got to talk to him directly about where is Markieff Morris on this team? Is Eric Bledsoe living up to what he is supposed to be delivering to this team? The same with Alex Len. And I think it's just time. After Jeff Hornacek ripped his team apart, we'll go get to Eddie Johnson down in Orlando. Matt Muehlbach's going to join us on the show today in hour number two, former U of A guard. He's a Pac-12 network analyst, Wildcat radio analyst, U of A big win over Utah, the development, the benching of Stanley Johnson, and next week, of course, the Pac-12 tournament. I'll be in Vegas next week doing the show from the MGM Grand. I'll be doing the show in Vegas on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, all around the Pac-12 tournament around Arizona and Arizona State, thanks to our friends at Santan Ford. So we have that on our minds today and a few other things. Let's get you caught up on what is on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. And when I say White Mountains, they are full of white snow. The snow has been falling the last few days. Sunrise Ski Resort. Tell you what, spring break right around the corner. It's going to be a great time to head on up and get out of the valley or wherever you're taking us in around the state, around the country. Think of the Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Why the Honda Resort and Casino? You can stay there. You can pull down on the slots, eat some great food, have some fun, entertainment. And during the day, you get your ski equipment and everything at the Sunrise Ski Resort right there at the ski shop at the Honda Resort and Casino. Head on up to Sunrise, enjoy your day there, have some fun going down the hill, and then at night, sit by the warm fire, sit in your room, sit in the entertainment area, and have a lot of fun as well. It's all right now with the ski season in full swing, a lot of snow. The Honda Resort and Casino, that's the place to stay. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. Eddie Johnson here in about 10 minutes. So I think the NFL is the story of the day today. It's day number two for Jameis Winston meeting with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's of interest to me. What could he possibly be doing through 3 days of meetings with one organization? I mean, what possibly? How many different ways are you going to be going on that?
Eating crab at nearby establishment?
Yeah, I listen to you.
Oh, man. Sometimes these jokes just tell themselves, don't they?
If somebody actually said, hey, Jameis, here's some crab dip for lunch, just to see what his response would be.
Maybe he'd stand up and on one of the tables and say something across the room that's derogatory.
Towards one of the cheerleaders.
Sure.
Why not?
Well, yeah, that sounds like a good plan.
Maybe they're going to put him in a space where let's just test and see if we can get him to respond because we need to really find out what he's all about. So there is that. The trade that came down yesterday, I'm going to get to that in a minute. I think on the Cardinals front, Bruce Arians was on NFL Network this morning. And today, I think, is a significant day. If Darnell Dockett decides to go play for the San Francisco 49ers, it's fine. The Cardinals have an offer that would pay Dockett up to $4 million based on incentives, okay? So if you can go find guaranteed money rather than incentive-laden contracts and you're able to make that number much greater and you're at that stage in your career and you're Darnell Dockett, you're a very proud man, you would go that direction, wouldn't you? With Dan Williams looking to go out on free agency, and if Dan Williams is looking for $3 million plus a year, I think the Cardinals would say, yeah, knock yourself out. You can't tie up. If you look at salary caps, okay, in this day and age of salary caps, it's like anything. You run your household, and you're willing to pay a little bit more on your cable bill because you want an extra tier if you still have cable or if you have satellite, you want to have more channels. So on your entertainment bottom line, you're willing to go a little bit further. in your food budget, maybe you don't go as high because you're doing more around your entertainment end of things. Okay. If you have your dry cleaning, if you have your hair care, whatever, and you have this money that's budgeted and set aside, and you want to go a little bit further on your clothing allowance, you're going to go splurge on clothes. Okay, that's fine. But you have to cut from somewhere else. If you're the Cardinals and you have money, big money tied up in Patrick Peterson, and you have big money that's tied up in Larry Fitzgerald, not as big as it could have been. I understand that. You have money that's tied up in your quarterback. And this will lead me over to what happened in Philadelphia yesterday. When you start going beyond three or four players that have your money tied up in big numbers, I think you are in a better position. Because if any one of those three players doesn't have a great year, gets hurt, whatever, and you're on the hook, now you're in trouble. It's kind of like this. When Philadelphia yesterday traded LeSean McCoy to Buffalo, and that became this big topic of conversation. I'll get back around to Arians in a second. I want to tie this all together. That's a lot of money being tied up in a running back. And that's in a league where running backs usually don't have a long shelf life. So Eagle fans are all worked up about, oh my gosh, Chip Kelly traded away DeSean Jackson last year and now LeSean McCoy this year. And you have to look at the salary cap and say, if we're willing to work through this, and it may blow up in their face, it may blow up, and he may be the smartest guy in the room in his opinion, and it may not work out for him. But you can't tie up money in just a few guys or overpay on a few guys, taking me back to Darnell Dockett. Darnell Dockett, if he gets more than $4 million with incentives, go take it. I'm sorry, that it's just business. It's really not that hard. It really isn't. If Dan Williams can get $3 million plus, he should go take it. And he may well go get it from one of these organizations that has a lot of space. Dan, you want to go to Jacksonville and get paid? Knock yourself out. Enjoy that locker room when you're 2-12, right? And then when you're 2-13 and 2-14, but you've got a big paycheck. It's fine. You want to go to the Raiders and go be a Raider? I'm a Raider. That's great. Knock yourself out. You're not going to win, but you're going to get paid. You guys are in the same boat. Some of you, I guarantee to you, would say, I could either get paid big jack or I could go win. I'm going to go get paid big jack. So how can you hold it against, and you can't hold it against the organization. You really can't. Especially in the case of Dockett and Dan Williams. These are two guys. In Darnell's case, I would love to see him retire a Cardinal. Very seldom does it happen. It's kind of like when Adrian Wilson left. Oh my gosh, the outrage. They let Adrian Wilson's not here anymore. Adrian Wilson, we never really saw him play on the field again, right? There comes a time where you have to just put your feet down and say, we're not going to pay you more than that. So today, if he goes to San Francisco, I'm fine. I'm not going to lose any sleep. I'm not going to have a protest against the Cardinals. I'm not going to say, take your 90 jerseys and let's all get together. It's business. Not that big of a deal. It's the same deal when Kurt Warner went and visited San Francisco a few years ago. So here is Bruce Arians, who was asked this morning on NFL Network, are you confident Darnell Dockett will be back with the Arizona Cardinals?
Well, I hope. You know, Darnell knows how I feel about him personally and as a player. So, you know, it's the hard part of the business. When you get, like, I get very attached to guys. So I let that part up to Steve Keim and his people. Darnell knows how we stand and where we stand and how we feel about him.
Okay, so reading between the lines, it's we love him, we care about him. That's all the right things to say. Go get the contract. Go get the offer, Darnell. Let us know what it is. We'll see if we come close. San Francisco, you want to take an aging defensive tackle that just is coming off of a big-time injury, and you want to pay him, you want to overpay him? It's fine. Knock yourselves out. That's how I have to look at it. Love Darnell Dockett as a person. If he's sitting in here with me right now and he says, I've been offered $5 million a year, you got to take it, man. You can't be here in Arizona. Please take it. Because I don't want to see the Cardinals get hamstrung with contracts that don't make sense. Over on the LeSean McCoy deal. So the Cardinals obviously have been in the market looking for a running back and are in the market looking for a running back. So I'm sure that Bruce Arians had a thought or two, an inkling that Shady McCoy was available in Philadelphia.
great move for Buffalo. You know, Alonzo's not a great player. I think he's going to be, you know, coming off surgery. But when you have LeSean's resume, that kind of speaks for itself.
Bruce, did you know that LeSean McCoy was available?
I had some inklings that that there might be something happening. Yeah.
Did you think about it?
Were you not interested?
No.
Why not?
It wasn't a good fit for us.
Yeah. So the good fit may have been the number. You know, you can always look at this player would be terrific with us. This player would be awesome and amazing for us. And in the NFL, it just comes back to what is the number? There's a lot of businesses in this day and age. Yesterday, I got a phone call, two phone calls, two guys that are in Valley Media that are both very talented, in my opinion. And both of them were let go in the last couple of days. Both of them did nothing wrong, from my understanding, not just talking with them, but some other people. They did nothing wrong other than their salary number was too big. And it's unfortunate that that has to happen to talented people, but it's no different in real life as it is in the NFL. It just isn't. There's that on my mind. Today is the opening of spring football workouts for the University of Arizona. Friday will be pro day for Arizona State for NFL draft guys. Eric, is it Thursday that the pro day for U of A? Is it tomorrow?
It is next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, okay. And they don't really have, they have Austin Hill, right? I don't think that there's anybody.
Maybe an offensive lineman.
Yeah, but it's not it's a big not, deal.
No, they had no one at the combine. None of the U of A players were selected to participate in the combine. Not that that means that
sure.
None of them will get drafted, but that's a pretty good indication who is on NFL radars as to who gets invited to the combine.
Sure, and U of A beat ASU on the football field. So, you know, let's not get all wound up about my team's better than your team. It's
and U of A's got a bunch of freshmen and sophomores anyway, so that are going to be now sophomores and juniors,
sure.
Including their starting quarterback.
Sure. And so for U of A, you know, they beat ASU, and then they went into the Pac-12 title game. And I said this about Arizona State the year before. If you remember, Arizona State beat U of A in Tempe. And the following week, they played Stanford, and Stanford just crushed them. And then ASU had to go to San Diego to the Holiday Bowl, and they didn't show up, and they got crushed. So they finished their game, their season, with two bad performances. U of A, I'd say pretty similar. They ended up beating ASU. Then they go to the Pac-12 title game. Eric and Jared were there and saw just a horrible game. U of A got destroyed, annihilated. And then the Fiesta Bowl, I thought it was just an uneven, sloppy performance, and they ended up losing that game. So they lose their final two of the year. Here is Rich Rodriguez on today being the start of spring football and how important is this time of year for the Wildcats.
I think spring ball is important, every coach will tell you, because you have to teach some of the fundamentals, you know, tackling and blocking the open field that you don't do as much in August because you're close to the season. You got to do that in the spring. But half the practices, I'm worried about guys getting hurt. So as a head coach, I think it's important, but it's not the end-all, be-all.
We'll talk a little bit further about some of the positions down in Tucson and around the Wildcats as they open spring football. I had some notes this morning about the stadium deal with ASU being announced last night. What are my thoughts on this supposed redesign and all that stuff? Is it anything more than just, hey, by the way, next week season tickets go on sale and we have a stadium coming? That's pretty much what it was, in my view. Sports360AZ.com, we're Arizona-centric. College, high school, pro. We do things a little differently than everyone else. We are the Sprouts and Whole Foods in a world of Walmart. That's how I call it, and that's how I see it. 3+ years going strong. Eddie Johnson is next from Orlando on the Suns, the State of the Union, Markieff Morris, and all that stuff. That's next.
For in-depth, unique coverage from the high schools to the pros, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
We got to find who on this team is going to be tough in terms of going after balls. We're soft going after everything, and they just take the ball out of our hands. Okay, maybe they grab the arm, but you got to be tougher than that. I don't know what it is. When teams get physical, we look like, you know, we're a high school team.
That was Jeff Hornacek after the game in Miami. Soft high school team. I mean, I've not heard him rip his team apart like that, and quite frankly, they deserve it. And that's my view. Eddie Johnson, Suns analyst, good friend of the show. You can find him at eddiejohnson8.com. You can get his book, You Big Dummy, An Athlete's Simple Guide to a Successful Career. Maybe I should be reading that on a daily basis. I don't know. Maybe Eddie should give that to the entire team the way they're playing. He is in Orlando. He joins us where the Suns play tonight. What do you make out of Jeff Hornacek's comments that we played there rolling into your interview?
Well, I mean, you know, he's a coach. He's got a first-hand view. You know, we observe, and, you know, we go based on what we observe. But, you know, Jeff basically has, he's got him in practice. He's got him in film. He's got him in pregame meetings. He can gauge it a lot of different ways than what we can. And, you know, look, the toughness aspect is just based on the fact that, you know, they have an opportunity to do something that this team has not done in a while, and that's make the playoffs. And so if that's going to happen, then, you know, they got to look at their schedule and find a way to, as he said, toughen it up. You know, this is not going to be easy. Orlando's not going to be easy tonight. Brooklyn's not going to be easy. Because Brooklyn's fighting for a playoff spot, and obviously Cleveland's not. So this road trip was important. Unfortunately, OKC, I think, won a game with both of those guys out. Westbrook will be back now, so that's the team that they're chasing. So they do it. Toughen it up a little bit.
Are you concerned about their toughness when you see the games, when you watch the games? Is toughness an issue to you as the analyst of the team?
But they're not a big team. So, you know, because of that, then everybody has to own up to their responsibilities, to their job description. And two, you know, you've got to take onus on what you're going to offer to this team past what your obvious skill set is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's toughness. You know, toughness is not going out there and fouling hard and creating controversy. No, toughness is, you know, sprinting back on defense all the time. Toughness is paying attention to the coach in the huddle and going out there and running the exact play that he designed. Toughness is giving up a shot and giving it to your teammate who has a better shot. Mm-hmm. That's the tough part of the game. That's toughness. You know, a lot of people get that misconstrued where they think, oh, toughness is being physical and knocking people around. No, that's not toughness. That's not tough. That's fake. Because anybody can do that. You might as well go get some boxers and just bring them out and they can knock people around. They'll win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the toughness is playing the game the way it's supposed to be played, being a good teammate, understanding that everything that you do on the court can affect your team. And that's arguing with officials. See, it takes a tough player to be able to bite his lip and walk down the court knowing that his opponent just got the best of him. But just save it for another day because for the good of the team, this can't happen. So that's what toughness is. And I think a lot of players get that screwed up. And I think, you know, people in general that hear that word, they don't understand that, no, toughness in basketball is exactly what I just said. And it has nothing to do with knocking somebody down.
Eddie Johnson with us. The book, You Big Dummy, An Athlete's Simple Guide to a Successful Career, eddiejohnson8.com. I have to ask you directly about Markieff Morris and how do you think he is playing? I'd throw Marcus in there too with the technicals the other night. Markieff decides after their worst showing of the year to go after the fans. That's off the court. Mm-hmm. That's not in your space. Okay. On the court, he's been, in my view, EJ, erratic. Just talk to me about the Morris twins and how they are performing right now.
No, they're up and down, and they can't be that way because we've seen their best. So we know what they can offer. We know that they have the talent. Now it's all about doing it more on a consistent basis, which is not easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
But you can do it if you focus. If you forget, now you got to have a forgetful gene both ways. You got to have a forgetful gene when you have a bad game, and you got to have a forgetful gene when you have a great game, and put pressure on yourself to go repeat the process. And I think for young players, especially in this generation, you know, as a whole, they have a hard time building on one game, making it two games, making it three games, mm-hmm. making it four games. You know, it's back and forth, back and forth. And a lot of times that's not going to get anything done. And obviously they're counted on to play a significant role with this team. And so, you know, for me, I think the best thing for them, and they've done better lately, is, you know, put the blame on yourself. You know, I think sometimes when players want to argue calls and they want to dispute referees, it's almost like redirecting blame.
Yeah.
You know, basketball, you're going to get fouled basically every play. The officials just aren't going to call it every time. You got to play through it. You know, they're going to blow a call every now and then. You got to play through it. You know, when you get caught up in disputing with them, you're going to lose that battle every time because they have a whistle and you don't. And I think that's the part of their maturation. They're still young players. And hopefully they'll figure it out because they have a good work ethic. I mean, they love the game. You know, they love success. But sometimes it takes a little bit more time with guys. And unfortunately for them, you know, they're a focal point of the team. So they have to grow up a little bit faster.
I was really surprised that Markieff would choose after a game like San Antonio to go after the fans. What were your
right.
thoughts on that?
Well, you know, you never go after the fans. And I think he's going to learn a lesson from that one. You're not going to win. You're never going to win.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like arguing with somebody on Twitter. You know, you just don't respond to them. You just don't because you're not going to win. I mean, basically, you know, it just plays that way. And what you have to do is really just go do your job. You know, and see, I understand that better than anybody because, you know, when I first came in the league, man, please, in Kansas City, I mean, we'd have like 3,000 fans.
Yeah.
And you could hear the hecklers. I mean, the hecklers would be on you all nonstop. But we played in front of 3,000 people. I mean, we'd go on the road and go to D.C. sometimes. They'd have about 1,500 people. I mean, what these guys have to understand in today's game is they need to do their history. I always tell young players this. If you go back and do your history and know that 25 years ago that this league was in dire straits, that it was about 6 or 7 teams ready to go under, that teams at one point was having a tough time having enough money to pay their salaries out to players. All these things that were going on, that the NBA Finals was on tape delay.
Right.
Wasn't live. They need to go back and look at their history and see how far this league has come. And then you wouldn't sit and make a comment on the fact that somebody's not cheering, but yet it's still 16,000 people there watching. You got to understand and move forward with that. And I think, obviously, he's learned his lesson. I mean, I've read some of the responses that he's had since then. And, you know, again, it's emotional young players that sometimes maybe say something that they really don't mean, but they're caught up in the moment. We've seen it before.
On the positive side, I really like the development of where Alex Len is, and I did not have a problem with what happened the other night down in Miami. Where are you at on Alex Len?
Well, I've said on my telecast, you know, for the last year that I think Alex Len is going to be a tremendous player. He just had to stay healthy. He had to get over that barrier that, you know, he would be able to play a multitude of games and not worry about his foot. And now I think he's at that point, and we're seeing a growth in him and an ability of learning the game and grabbing it and then executing it on the court. And that's what we see with Alex. You know, you say you didn't have a problem the other night. I didn't have a problem with his toughness.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think Alex has an edge to him.
Yep.
But I'm always going to have a problem with a guy that gets kicked out of a game and the team is trying to win and, not most importantly, trying to get into the playoffs. Your fuse cannot be short. Look, the first thing, look, no one is going to maim you on the basketball court, okay? They're not. And what Whiteside was doing was not correct. It was not fair.
Right.
I mean, he was coming down. But you know what? He didn't maim him. He didn't hurt him. Move on. Because the ultimate goal is to win the game because you got to get in the playoffs. You know, and I think that's the mindset that they have to have now. They can't afford to all of a sudden have these situations and put it on themselves where they can't win a game and not make the playoffs. You have to put your pride, your individual manhood aside for the good of the team. And I never got kicked out of a game for fighting and never wanted to. And guys popped me and did all of that. But you know what? my best revenge is to stay in the game and bust them up. You know, get 25 on them because they can't hurt me. You can't be hurt in a game. You know, it's too, there's officials, there's other players. Unless he's just flat out trying to punch, if you got to protect yourself, there's no doubt about that.
Right.
But what I'm saying, just that action of coming down and just irritating him is something that Alex could have just looked off. And then, like, 3 minutes down, you know, as he was coming down, pop him. You know, that's the way you play. And I think the young players, they need to understand it.
Before I let you go, so this is clearly Bledsoe's team in my view, Eddie. And I look at where the organization is and see Bledsoe and Alex Len, and I think everything else, from my view, is kind of up in the air, exploring who's going to be here for a long run of not just making the playoffs, but to be a title-contending team. I don't know if they're going to make the postseason this year or not. I really don't. Do you see it as I see it, that they've got a couple pieces for a title-contending team, whenever that is, if it's 16, 17, 18, the rest of it's still up in the air?
I missed your last point, Brad. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Is it up in the air that I see Bledsoe and Len as your two building blocks to a title contending, two cornerstones, I should say, cornerstones to a title contending team? Everything else, in my view, is up in the air.
Well, you know, look, I mean, obviously the commitment to Bledsoe is there.
Yep.
In the contract. So, but those contracts have always been tradable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and look, and this is a guy, man, that, you know, I thought I'd be on the Sun forever after I signed my deal, and I did. I got traded 2 years later. So, you know, when it comes to contracts, you know, and commitments, that really doesn't mean anything to me.
Okay.
I mean, it's just how it is. I mean, Brook Lopez, I mean, he's signed a big deal. They've been trying to trade him for 2 years. I mean, it's just what it is. Now, I think when they signed him, that's what they saw. You know, they saw he and Alex Len as two anchors. I don't know if they saw it immediately with Alex, but I think the way Alex has played, he's convinced them of it.
Sure.
But those two, I could say. But, again, they got to grow. They're still young, and they're still understanding it. I think Eric's got to learn to put 48 minutes together. You know, right now he hasn't figured out how to put the whole 48 together. Alex has to get stronger, and he has to get more confident offensively that when he does go up and he does something that he feels 100% sure that he's going to execute it well. I think sometimes he hesitates, but that's part of growth. But, yeah, I think you could say those two guys right now based on what we've seen and move from there.
Safe travels. I know you'll be warm in Orlando, and then you get Brooklyn and Cleveland. Whoever did your scheduling, you had to pack a lot of stuff, so be well.
Yeah, no. Yeah, okay. Thanks, Brad.
See you, pal. It's Eddie Johnson for a couple of minutes on the road down in Orlando. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports, we partner with the Arizona Republic. Matt Muehlbach will join us a little bit later in the show. We'll talk about what's going on with the U of A. And today is Darnell Dockett's decision day with the 49ers. That's all straight ahead. I'm Brad Sussmat. Thanks again, Eddie Johnson. I don't know if the Morris stuff is going to continue down this path. You know, tonight, Orlando, Brooklyn, Cleveland. You know, Markieff ripped the fans going out the door on this road trip, so it's pretty simple to do it then and not face the music. I don't know when he gets back, if there's going to be fans that decide to go after him and boo him. I think they have Golden State when they get back. I think that's the game that I saw on their schedule.
Yeah, that won't be pretty.
No, that'll be the, hey, Steve, did you feel as though when you were with the Suns organization and Steph Curry went to Golden State? Because have you seen the Steve Kerr stuff that he's been writing? He wrote a manifesto of what it would be like if he were a head coach. And he kept like this 2-year journal of what it would be like and what he'd want to do. And
it sounds like
laid it all out.
It sounds like something Steve Kerr would do.
No, I mean,
knowing Steve.
So, yeah, it's smart on his part. So, you know, he's in Golden State and they are one of the best teams in the NBA. And he left Phoenix and they're a train wreck.
Yeah, talk about a crossroads decision. I mean, he could be the head coach of the Knicks right now. Think about that.
Well, sure.
Jeez.
And if Golden State didn't punch Mark Jackson's ticket, you know, you look at that, and Mark Jackson, it was that's a pretty good team. Why would you want to upset the chemistry?
Yep.
And instead, it's the guy's maintenance. We don't want maintenance. We do not need maintenance. If you have maintenance employees, launch them. You know, that's just how it is. I don't know how many times I've fired Eric. It's amazing to me.
I just wonder, Brad, if that style, the Warrior style, will hurt them in the playoffs. Because it always does.
Sure.
Like, it's always great during the regular season, it's fun. Then the playoffs start, and everything just grinds down to a halt.
And their owners are a little nuts, too.
Yeah, and you see the Spurs and the Heat win titles. That's just kind of the way it's gone.
No, you're right. You're right. And the owner there is a little nuts. So that's and most owners are. But so there's been a lot of NFL stuff. I was talking to EJ. There's a lot that has come out today. I know that next week is when the next Tuesday is when everything can be made official. So a lot of this stuff that I'm about to tell you that is being reported today, teams can back out of it. So it's like the Shady McCoy thing. It could still fall apart before next Tuesday, but they've agreed to terms. So Buffalo, and I'm not a Rex Ryan guy, never have been, never will be. Fine on the defensive side, just think his act, unless you're Buffalo, and it plays really well in Buffalo, doesn't play well in cities that want to win. But if you're in Buffalo and you have somebody that is just like us, common man, eats wings, drinks beer, a little crass, you know, talks about foot fetish, all the stuff that surrounds Rex Ryan that has nothing at all to do with winning, and that's why in New York they just got crushed. So in Buffalo, they're all excited. They make a deal yesterday that'll be made official where they get Shady McCoy. And then today it comes out that the Bills are going to get Matt Castle as their quarterback. I think Brian Hoyer would be just as a solid a choice as Matt Castle, but that's the direction they want to go. It'll be kind of fun when Buffalo plays New England. You have Tom Brady against his former backup, Matt Castle. It's fine. So Buffalo's had an interesting offseason. As it pertains to the Cardinals, with LeSean McCoy traded to Buffalo, so there's another running back that's off the board. So I'm going through the free agent list, and today will be interesting if Darnell Dockett decides to go elsewhere. If he does go to the 49ers today, is the day he's supposed to make up his mind. So the Cardinals will then have to look at their defensive line and say, all right, if Dan Williams leaves and Darnell Dockett leaves, and we have some players there, but do we need to go address it in free agency? At the running back spot is what I'm looking at in free agency, because it seems to me, and Eric was there at the combine, it seems to me that the safe pick of Melvin Gordon falling to the Cardinals isn't going to happen, that he's blown up enough that he'll be a running back, that running backs don't get chosen in the first round. But when it comes May, he will end up being taken early. Then it seems to me that Todd Gurley, who had a severe knee injury, would probably be sitting there when the Cardinals have their first-round pick. And I myself, I don't know, a blown ACL is nothing short of a fingernail being clipped at this point for guys that play football. ACL injuries happen all the time. Was there meniscus involved? How much meniscus was taken? You know, the whole medical thing would be of my concern. If the Cardinals go through free agency next week and they pass on taking a running back, it tells you very clearly what their plan of attack is, that we have to go get a running back in the draft because there's no way they can come back with this current cast of characters.
I know, Brad, it was a different regime. I understand that, sort of.
Yeah.
But do you think there is any hesitation inside the Cardinals war room on taking a running back in the first round after the Beanie Wells project exploded on them a few years ago?
Well, and, you know, the narrative of that would be not just Beanie Wells. You could go back on first-round running backs that the Cardinals took. Thomas Jones was a complete disaster.
Yep.
He liked to fish and read books more than run a football.
Yep.
And that's a long time ago.
Hurts himself answering the phone. It's just one of those things.
No, right. And so, right. But let me throw a name at you. So let's say Mark Ingram is out there, which he is as a free agent. He's 25. He has not run the football a ton because he's been hurt down in New Orleans. If you took Mark Ingram and put him on the Cardinals roster, would that excite the masses? Would be my question.
Is that Stephon Taylor 2.0?
Sure.
Mark Ingram? I mean, kind of the same player, sort of the same mold, build.
You know, does Ryan Matthews do anything to excite you? He's always hurt
always
in San
hurt.
Diego.
Great talent, always hurt.
Yeah, and when he does play, averages 4.5 yards a carry, okay? Do I want to tie money up in that? know, everybody wants to figure the Adrian Peterson thing out. Adrian Peterson's meeting today with the Vikings. And we had Peter on a couple weeks ago, Peter King at the Combine, and he felt then that what will happen with Adrian Peterson is Mike Zimmer is the hammer in that room, and that Mike Zimmer will say, hey, look, you know, that's management. You know, I'm your coach. I believe in you. Everybody gets a little bit excited. This is where you can make the most money. I don't know. He may need the most money. Don't know.
He might.
And when you've got kids running around and you've got
legal stuff.
You got legal stuff hanging over your head, you know? So.
I like how you said that too. Kids running around.
Kids running around.
It's like kind of a play on words. So.
It's the whole deal on.
It's just a pro athlete's lifestyle.
That's it.
Let's not sugarcoat it.
I appreciate you doing that. Filling in the blanks for me. So when you put all that together and you're looking at the running back crop, do you go out of your way and sign any of those players? You know, fans are going to want to see them do something at running back. But if you feel like on your defensive front, you've got to go now throw some money in that direction or at a linebacker. You know, they talk about center and guards. There's a ton of centers and guards. Most free agent guys that I'm looking at today, it's like Andre Johnson wants to go to Indianapolis because Chuck Pagano and Reggie Wayne and the U and all that stuff. The wide receivers are the names that are out there today. Michael Crabtree. Could Michael Crabtree go to Seattle and be with Richard Sherman on the same team? Would that be interesting? Would that be fun? If you're Seattle, knock yourself out if you want to go out Michael Crabtree, in my opinion.
I would rather have the Cardinals just wait and take someone in the draft. I mean, this draft
the running
class,
back.
Yeah, for running backs, the draft class is loaded. I mean, you mentioned...
Duke Johnson's a guy I love.
You love Duke Johnson? I mean, TJ Yeldon, there's tons. Buck Allen, who played at USC, is going to be a good player in the NFL, I think, even though he's projected to be sort of a late-round pick. But lots of good running backs.
But the window of opportunity for the Cardinals is this year. So I don't know if you can afford to take a running back that you look at as he's just now coming into his own or he may be a year away in free agency. You know, if you take a running back that high in the draft as a first-round pick, and it can't be anybody other than those two, and it really would have to be Todd Gurley, in my opinion, because Gordon's going to be gone before the Cardinals pick unless they trade up. So you throw all that together. I've had some fans send me notes. Do you think they can land Ndamukong Suh? I would not tie up all of my payroll in Ndamukong Suh. And that's what's going to happen if you're a team like the Cardinals. You already have a significant amount of payroll. It's pretty evened out. But for him, he's going to command 30% of your payroll. That doesn't make sense to me. Unless you're willing to clear some people off the deck here in the next week that I haven't seen, it doesn't make sense to me. You know, the names that are out there, there's a name I'd written down here. Jason Pierre-Paul got franchise tag. So that's, you know, that's a name that a lot of fans have been throwing out. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Had back surgery, but he's franchise tag. He's going to stay with the Giants. This is the time of year where fans will come up with all sorts of different names and players and places, and you try to just take each space, each guy, and segment it out and say, what will the dollar figure be versus we're not playing fantasy football here? You know, and along those lines of this is a time where the window of opportunity for the Cardinals, they can't afford to bring in a rent a guy that can't play. You know, Ted Ginn was a rent a guy that couldn't play, didn't help them. Didn't help them at all, in my opinion. And so they missed on him. You're going to miss on some guys in free agency. So a busy day, the Bills go out and get Matt Castle. And Philadelphia is sitting there trading away Shady McCoy and DeSean Jackson. And you look at those two names going out the door. If that happened here in Arizona, oh my gosh, if they traded away two star players on the offensive side of the football or let two guys just get away, fans would be up in arms out here, but fortunately they're not in that space. They've got to address it. They just have to. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Next week, I'll be in Las Vegas at the Pac-12 basketball tournament. General manager Tim Hovick at Santan Ford said, when I started this, Brad, wherever you see a story, I believe in you. And I believe in what your vision is with Sports 360 AZ. And it's now 3 years later, and I've gone to a lot of different places thanks to our friends at Santan Ford. I also know that my phone, quite often, I'll get a text or a call from someone saying, who can I talk to over at Santan Ford? I want to purchase a vehicle, whether it's new or used. I'll get emails on it as well from listeners. It's fine. And I'll just point them over in general direction, and I've never heard back from someone that wasn't satisfied and didn't get the vehicle that they were looking for, whether it's new or whether it's used. Guys, with spring break coming up, you're going to be heading out on the road, some of you. Are you in a vehicle that you can trust for your family? You're in that space in life, maybe, where you're in your 30s and 40s, mid-30s, 40s, where you're like me. I'm running around a basketball tournament. I had 5 basketball games for my 10-year-old over the weekend. So I got to pack up the Explorer and make sure I've got enough for 2 day trips in Avondale coming from the Southeast Valley. And that's what makes a lot of sense for me. What makes a lot of sense for me is the Explorer, the certified pre-owned Explorer from Santan Ford. Santan Ford just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is, all about you. So on the other side, back on the Suns and U of A opening their spring football workouts. A couple more thoughts on that front. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Matt Muehlbach, former U of A guard, now with the Pac-12 Network. The Cats tomorrow night have Cal. Can they get to a number one seed? How has Stanley Johnson played this year? Sean Miller's job of coaching, all things around U of A as we get into March Madness. That's straight ahead. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For unique angles, content, and guests, check out our podcast center, available 24/7, 365 at sports360az.com.
'Cause I have a Suns game tonight to watch. I don't know how much of it I'm going to check out. Eric, you going to check them out tonight, see if the implosion continues?
Yeah, if the TVs are still working in our house that we're about
to move
moving. Out
to. That's right, you're moving.
Yeah.
That's fine. It's fine. Run over to a sports bar. Tell her, look, pack boxes. I got to go work. That's the way.
I got this little neat little smartphone that allows me to watch the game even when I'm not watching the game.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, no, yeah, but it's just on Twitter. I can follow it, and then I'll go back and catch the highlights.
But you can't see, as you follow a game on Twitter, if they're really playing hard for Jeff. I have to tell you that I'm a little concerned, and I brought this up yesterday, when Jeff went after them as hard as he went after them after the game in Miami. You can do that a couple of times. He's got a young team. If he had a bunch of vets, he could do that maybe once, and that's it. But the fact that he's got a pretty young team, like I don't think the Morris guys are ever going to figure it out. I just don't think they're ever going to understand that you can't say dumb things. You cannot get technicals all the time. You can't be brilliant one night and the next night not even show up.
And that's why it's hard to evaluate the job that Hornacek's done this year. I mean,
well, he's got an option coming up. I mean, that's the thing that's what's so tough about this situation for him is if you look at where the organization is going with their head coach, we've already been through this turnover and turmoil. And, you know, during Robert's run, the Terry Porter disaster, and then having Alvin come in and save the day, and then the way Alvin was treated and thrown out the door. And
same with Dan Marley. I mean, you could go down the list.
The Dan Marley thing. I mean, so now you have Jeff, who's in this completing his second year. How good of a job has he done as the coach of the Suns? Can you really evaluate it when you turn the roster upside down? If Goran Dragic wasn't happy with his role, and it took them till a week before the deadline, was it just Goran Dragic quietly going about his business and he never said anything? Could they not sense it? You know, I took from our conversation with EJ that he's not convinced that Eric Bledsoe could be here long. That's what I took from it is, look, contracts are tradable. And he's right. But if you're really trying to put together a team that is going to contend for a title and not get fans excited to be just a 7th or 8th seed, what are they doing? So, yeah, it's Orlando and it's early March. But nonetheless, if they come out tonight, this is not a back-to-back. And then they play Brooklyn, a team that's for sale, and the owner's trying to sell off parts. They don't know their future. And then you finish with Cleveland. You know, if you go through these games and they don't play hard for the coach and they get drilled again and give up 115, I'd have to say that the team would have a little bit of quit in them. And so you don't know how they're going to react to him ripping on them and saying, you guys are a bunch of high schoolers. And he used that term, high schoolers. So I am going to watch some of that tonight. I thought about taking the show to Tucson today with Rich Rod opening spring football. We do a lot around college football year-round. College football is not Arizona State opening against Texas A&M in September. It's not. College football is National Letter of Intent Day, recruitment every week on the high school front, spring football workouts, coaches doing their caravans around the state, media days that start in mid-July. This is a year-round deal for us. And that's why we've been able to succeed for 3 years, because we see that you guys want the content and you want good content. You don't just want crapola that a lot of companies put out. So, you know, today's a big day, and I thought, yeah, we'll get down there at some point. You know, it's fine. They know that we care what's going on. Here is Rich Rodriguez on needing to grow up his quarterbacks other than and including Anu Solomon.
We know that Anu has done it in the big stage, and we also know that Gerard has gotten some experience that can do it. So, but that being said, we have to play better. We played well at times last year with that, but there were times that inexperience showed up, and that's our job as coaches to make sure that everybody gets better, but it's particularly that position because it's so important for our success.
The thing about their quarterback play, Anu Solomon didn't play well in the bowl game. There's no other way to put it. Did you think he played well in the Pac-12 title game?
Oh, God, no. No.
Yeah. So
the last two games were his worst two games.
Did he play great against ASU? Great.
I'd have to go back and watch. I don't remember off the top of my head.
I thought he played steady. I thought he made a couple great plays. I thought he was steady.
I would say, though, last year he exceeded expectations.
Really?
For a redshirt freshman who's never played a down in college football. I mean, remember the summer? It was, oh, wow, who's going to start? Who's going to be the starting quarterback? Rich Rod has, like, these nine different quarterbacks.
I guess I bought
There's no controversy this year.
I bought into everything of he is a winner. He won in high school. It's his team. We're ready to go. Did he make some plays during the year, and did they make some great performances? Sure, at Oregon and all that, but I don't know. Yeah, he's definitely the guy. There's no question about that. I think still what's going to hurt U of A, they can go through spring football workouts starting today, and they can go through the summer and media day. And the one theme that I come back to on that squad is U of A does not have a bye this year. They don't have a week off. So when you start the engine running in September, you're basically screwed if you have a couple of injuries. If you have a game where you get beat up, it's almost like one of their games somewhere along the way, you just know somewhere along the way, U of A is going to get drilled because it's going to add. You can't take 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds. You can coach them as hard as you want, but if you don't have 1 week off somewhere along the way, you're going to get hammered. And
it's just
a matter of time.
And most teams, Brad, have two bye weeks.
Sure. Sure. So here's Rich Rod on playing without a bye this season.
The 12 game with no open dates is different, and I've never had that. And so we've got to have a plan, certainly to play more people, but we also got to have a plan how we're going to prepare in August, getting ready for that schedule. We've got to get 16, 17, 18 guys ready on offense and 22 and 24 on defense. And this spring will determine a lot of that, and some of the guys coming in new may have to play more. But we have to make a conscious effort to get more guys on the field, get more guys playing.
Man, this is going to be the overriding theme that I'm going to bring up. This will be Rich Rod's best coaching job if he's able to. If they go get 10 wins this year without a bye, that's something else. And it's not as simple as saying my team's better than your team on any given week. If you have 10 straight games, you're going to run into a team that's beat up, mentally fatigued, come off a road trip or the plane's delayed or whatever happens. And I know internally down there, they're pissed about this. They're not happy at all about it. And I don't blame them. I mean, that's just dumb. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Matt Muehlbach is next, U of A former guard, now Pac-12 Network and Wildcat radio analyst. We'll talk with Matt Muehlbach as he sees Sean Miller's squad rounding into form. They still have a shot at a one seed. Are they really one seed worthy? Stanley Johnson within the framework of the team versus Aaron Gordon last year. TJ McConnell and the Pac-12 tournament, which starts next week in Vegas. I'll be in Vegas covering both ASU and U of A. I'm Brad Sussmann. Off we go into hour number two. Good middle of the week to you. Sports360AZ.com, AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. I'm Brad Sussmat. In a couple of minutes, Matt Muehlbach will be with us. Some of what is on my mind in the middle of the sports world, in the middle of the day, brought to you by the good people at Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Bruce Arians this morning was on NFL Network, and the story of the day today is Darnell Dockett reportedly is going to make a decision about whether or not he re-signs with the Arizona Cardinals or goes to San Francisco. Here is Bruce Arians asked earlier today on the NFL Network about Darnell Dockett.
Well, I hope, you know, Darnell knows how I feel about him personally and as a player. So, you know, it's the hard part of the business. When you get, like, I get very attached to guys. So I let that part up to Steve Keim and his people. Darnell knows how we stand and where we stand and how we feel about him.
That is called staying in the lane. If we were to go through last week's Bruce Arians, Steve Keim conversation, staying in the lane. Yeah, I like him a lot. If he's here, great. I care about him, but that's really a Steve Keim deal. The key for the Cardinals, here's Bruce Arians, the key for the team is improving their depth.
The most valuable players on the team are the backups. It's not Carson Palmer. It's when he goes down, who's gonna play, who's going to have the level of play, and the expectation of level of play is not going to change. So have yourself ready to go. We give our young guys a ton of reps in the spring and in fall camp, so that they are ready to play.
You know, the story today has been a ton of buzz about Philadelphia trading LeSean McCoy to Buffalo. And we know that the Cardinals are in the market for a running back. We know that. We don't know if it's a free agent running back or if it's going to be through draft. Here is Bruce Arians on the LeSean McCoy trade. This was earlier this morning on the NFL Network.
Great move for Buffalo. You know, Alonzo's not a great player. I think he's going to be, you know, coming off surgery. But when you have LeSean's resume, that kind of speaks for itself.
Bruce, did you know that LeSean McCoy was available?
I had some inklings that that there might be something happening, yeah.
Did you think about it?
Were you not interested?
No.
Why not?
It wasn't a good fit for us.
And I'm fine with that because you're talking about a number. And, yeah, he's terrific. He's great. But so that story happened, and then a short time ago, it was announced the Buffalo Bills, also along with getting the LeSean McCoy deal done, have acquired quarterback Matt Cassel from Minnesota. So Buffalo, and these deals can all fall apart by free agency that starts next week. Next week, I'll be in Las Vegas. Fourth year in a row, we'll be at the Pac-12 tournament doing our show on the road from the MGM Grand. And I am sure that I'll see Matt Muehlbach there, the former U of A guard. He's been with us before now, Pac-12 Network, Wildcat Radio analyst, for a couple of minutes to talk about where U of A is right now at 26-3. Is this about, Matt, where you thought the Cats would be coming out of Pac-12 play?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I think there was some discussion earlier this year, you know, maybe they go 18-0, which, by the way, has never been done. Number of teams have gone 17-1, but I kind of thought that was about the over-under was 2. I guess I probably didn't pick. I probably picked them to lose either, you know, at Colorado or Utah, and certainly did not pick them to lose Oregon State at the beginning of the year. But, you know, they've played really well at home. So I think it all evened out about where we all thought.
And, of course, they still have Cal and Stanford this weekend, not to take anything away from those two teams. But, obviously, they would be heavy favorites. Has this been, how would you sum up Sean Miller's coaching job with this group this year as compared to other coaching jobs he's done with the Cats in the past?
You know, I mean, he had to coach much harder this year. And not that he had any real chemistry issue or problem, but it just last year was a little easier. I mean, he had, you know, you got Nick Johnson, who's one of the greatest guys of all time, and, you know, a junior guard that's with another junior guard in T.J. McConnell. Aaron Gordon was like, you know, the most unselfish kind of defensive, you know, freshman, you know, superstar you could ever ask for. And so just the pieces kind of fit really naturally last year, and you had that leadership. I think it's just been tougher this year. You know, T.J.'s back there. He's got a freshman two guard. He's got a sophomore three-man. They were trying to kind of figure out, you know, their roles and how do they play together. And all that was tougher on Sean, and, you know, tougher on how to coach them up. And, you know, his heart and soul is defense, And so they lost their two best defensive players. So how do you replace that? So that was a big issue for him. And so he's done a really, really good job with that this year, sticking to it and kind of, you know, his process, you know, working through that. And it's funny, isn't it, how there's all this Coach of the Year talk and no one really mentions him. And so they just assume, hey, you got all this talent, you know, you should win. But he should definitely be in that discussion.
Well, and we're talking with Matt Muehlbach. When I see the team play, and I have Pac-12 Network, and I joke I'm one of the five that has it, so I've seen a lot of the games, right? And I'll hear you and Brian do the broadcast as well. The other night, Stanley Johnson has a nice warm seat at the end of the game. ESPN reports that the coaching staff wasn't happy with his effort or lack thereof. And you mentioned Aaron Gordon, how seamless and unselfish he was as a freshman. I'm not going to use the selfish tag on Stanley Johnson because I'm not there. But it seems to me that this has been a work in progress between Sean coaching staff and getting Stanley to perform consistently throughout the season. Am I right on that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it was talked about earlier in the season, you know, that he was trying to figure things out. He was a freshman, and I think part of the problem, I'll tell you a couple things. You know, one is I remember when I first met Stanley. And, you know, you sort of wonder, hey, what's this guy going to be like? Big superstar, you know, obviously huge Player of the Year awards and some of the different, you know, magazines and so forth. But I was super impressed with him, like how he dealt with me. And he probably didn't know me very well, maybe knew I played at U of A, but he was really good with me. And I was really impressed, like, with how he kind of looked at you, just his demeanor and stuff. And I was, not that I wasn't expecting that, but it was noticeable. And then every time I've seen him since, he's been really good, and not at all like an air of, you know, I'm better than you and I'm Stanley Johnson, look out of the way. So to me, that was really interesting. But I just think too, like, there's so much expectation from a guy like him, and look, he's going to come in with some you know, for lack of a better term, some ego. He's a great player and might be a, you know, very likely is going to be a lottery pick, so you kind of expect that. But I think just incorporating him into the team, figuring out what his role was, where he was going to fit, his position, I mean, he can play four different positions, so that is just, I think that was something, a learning process he's had to go through that the coaches are, and it's still occurring. It never ends, you know, with any of these guys. And I was telling someone, you know, you look at the end of the bench during that game, I mean, Brandon Ashley was sitting right next to him. And it wasn't because he did anything wrong necessarily, but that was just the lineup that, you know, Sean Miller had gone with. And, you know, coaches take guys out all the time during the game because they miss an assignment or, you know, do something defensively or don't run back the right way. That happens all the time. This just happened to happen at the end of the game. It looked like he missed, you know, Brandon Taylor on that three, didn't close out the way Sean wanted it. And it was, you know, and Sean, I love the way he just dealt with it because he didn't care if it was the last minute and a half. And to be honest, you know, Stanley wasn't playing great offensively. He was 3-19. So
right,
he kind of felt like, hey, he was going with those guys. And I didn't have a problem with it. You saw Johnson after the game. I thought he was great. He looked like he was totally fine. I don't think they'll have any, you know, real issues teamwork-wise with him.
Matt Muehlbach with us. So Tarzewski earlier in the season, I think it was the ASU game up here, was a low point, it seemed to me, in watching him. And then he's responded in a big way and is playing much better. Am I right on that one?
You are. I mean, he's offensively, he had lost some confidence, not sure why.
Yeah.
But he was really struggling. And his confidence offensively is totally changed. Now, I would say this. He has not lost his confidence defensively. He has been, and I've said this for 2 years, I think he's the most underrated center maybe in the country.
Hmm.
You know, I think those two guys for Kentucky, those two centers are the best defensive centers in the whole country. I mean, they're unbelievable in how they dominate the game. You know, Robert Upshaw from Washington, when he was playing, was incredible. But you watch Zeus, he's the anchor to that whole defense. I mean, he anchors everything they do. He's really physical. You know, you watch how he's the best in the business at screen and roll stuff. He gets out and hedges better than anyone at that size, I think, in the country, maybe except those two Kentucky guys. I'm really a big fan of his.
Before I let you go, I mean, I could run up and down the roster. To me, T.J. McConnell's the Pac-12 Player of the Year, but Hollis Jefferson's defense when you get into postseason, next week up in Vegas and beyond that, you've got to be able to play defense and get your rebounds in order. And you just talked about Tarzewski and his ability. And if Stanley Johnson is consistent, you've got the point guard. Hollis Jefferson's defense has been tremendous this year. It seems to me there's a lot of national debate about whether U of A or anybody for that matter can compete with Kentucky. They have the pieces there. It's just a consistency situation with this squad, from my view.
Yeah, I mean, as I've said, a lot of times it's replacing, you know, a first team All-American in Nick Johnson, who was the MVP of the Pac-12. It's replacing Aaron Gordon, who's the fourth pick in the draft. And it's just, and you, as you said, that's the consistency issue, trying to get that team to be a team. And every once in a while, you know, they have a hiccup. Maybe they don't shoot it well, or maybe they don't bring it defensively like Sean wants. But, you know, it's interesting. They're the, I think it's third or second most efficient defense in the country behind Kentucky, and it might be behind Virginia, or they're ahead of Virginia now. And those numbers are actually better than they were last year. Mm. And so, you make the argument they're better defensively now. So it's been a little bit of a work in progress. But, I mean, I love where they're at. I mean, that we all know the tournament's crazy. And I'm talking about the NCAA tournament, not necessarily the Pac-12 tournament, but the real tournament. It's crazy. And you can lose in the second round if you don't shoot it well. And you look to last year, I mean, they lost to Wisconsin, and, you know, Kaminsky was fantastic. But really, they lost because they couldn't make shots. You know, they didn't shoot it well that last game. And I just think that, you know, they're in position. They can get to the Final Four. They can give Kentucky everything they want. Kentucky's right now maybe the best team. I don't think you can make that, you know, you can argue against it. But, you know, if Arizona, as you said, kind of has that consistency, I think they're fine.
I'll see you up in Vegas. Appreciate your time and your insight, as always, Matt. Thanks.
Thanks, Brad. I really appreciate it.
As always, okay. Matt Muehlbach, former U of A guard, Pac-12 Network, Wildcat Radio analyst.